How many believe with me this morning that the Word of God is powerful? Powerful. I believe that there's such an attraction to the Word of God that you could take the Bible and set it somewhere and it will mess someone up. I'm serious. Take the Bible to a public school and see what it does. You don't even have to speak it. You don't even have to say it. Just take it to school and see what happens. Take the Bible and put it in a public arena and see what people do. Take your Bible and start reading it on a bus, traveling with other people, or read it at your lunch break in the room where everyone's passing by, and see the response of people when they see the Word of God. It is powerful. Powerful. The Bible declares that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The Bible declares it itself that it is powerful and mighty, and that it can change and transform lives. It has its own testimony of itself. But I also believe that not only is the Word of God powerful in that of itself, but I also believe that there is a power in the spoken Word of God. There's something dynamic, absolutely powerful, when someone stands up, reads God's Word, and declares it as truth. And says, here is the Word of God. This is what the Bible says. Something begins to change. The atmosphere changes. There's an anointing that flows in the air when the Word of God is open. And we began to break bread one with another. And the Word of God is being declared to you. And when you hear God's Word from someone who's actually listened to it and obeyed it, there's something powerful about that. Something begins to flow in the house. Something opens up. I love it when someone reads a scripture that's right what I need to hear, and that word just permeates in the air, and I can even almost smell it, or it's almost tangible. I can almost touch it and say, that's what I needed to hear right there. Just declare that word to me. Let me hear what the Lord is saying. The book of Revelation says, let the church hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And what we need today is that word to be spoken, because there's nothing more powerful than when the Word of God is spoken. Today we have a lot of words being said, but when we say God's Word, something happens. I said something happens. There's a lot of responses. Some of them are negative, some of them are positive, but I can promise you there's a response. The Bible said the Word of God never returns void. It doesn't matter how you say it, who you say it to. It doesn't matter if you say it softly and kindly and gentle. It doesn't matter if you raise your voice and declare it with fire and power and with zeal and anointing and authority. It doesn't matter the level or the tone in which you speak it. All that matters is that it comes from God's Word, because it's breathed by God Himself. And when you hear that come out, when you hear, thus saith the Lord, something inside every human being takes notice that God's Word has been spoken. Oh, how desperate we are to hear the spoken Word of God. There's nothing more powerful. Jesus knew this. He knew this, that when Satan came and began to tempt him, he said, it is written. And he declared the spoken Word of God. He fought off Satan because he spoke God's Word. Oh, they mocked and called them drunk on the day of Pentecost. They said, these people are full of new wine. They're drunk, but they're acting silly. Look at the way they act. Look at what they're doing. But when Peter opened up his mouth and began to declare the Word of God, and that day he began to go from Abraham all the way to that present day and declare the Word of God, something happened in that house. All those that mocked changed their opinion. People began to listen as Peter declared the Word of God, as he began to preach what God had to say. And the Bible said 3,000 souls were added into the kingdom simply because one man opened his mouth and preached the word. The Bible declares that Stephen was full of faith and power. He did great miracles and wonders in the book of Acts. The Bible declares that the people could not resist the wisdom of Stephen. That when Stephen began to preach, they could not come against him. They could not rebuttal. They could not fight against what Stephen was saying. They got so angry at Stephen that the only answer was to get people to lie on him and to get people to accuse him of blasphemy, because his wisdom, he was outsmarted started them all, the word of God was quick in his hands. It was quick in his mouth. It was sharp when he spoke it. And it was powerful when it flowed from his mouth. And they could not resist him when Paul stood before Felix. The Bible said that when he began to reason with Felix about righteousness and temperance and the good things of judgment to come, the Bible said Felix trembled as Paul spoke the word of God. There's nothing more powerful than the spoken word of God. Moses wandering out there in Horeb, he saw a bush that didn't burn. He saw it burning, but it wouldn't be consumed. He could not figure out what it was. So he turned aside to see. And the Bible said when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God gave Moses a word for Pharaoh. He said, you go down there to Egypt, Moses, and you tell Pharaoh, let my people go. One preacher that I love to hear and listen to so much, he said he sent Moses down there with a stick and a one-line sermon. And I believe that's very true, don't you? He sent him down there with a stick and a simple sermon. Let my people go. And the Bible said that when Moses stood before Pharaoh, that they laughed and said, who is God that we should obey him? But when God was done with Pharaoh, they realized that there was power in that stick and that one-line sermon that was given to Moses. All because the word was anointed by God. Let my people go. And when that word was spoken to Pharaoh, there had to be a shaking in his heart. And God shook Pharaoh all the way down to where Pharaoh's army drowned in a Red Sea. All because God gave a word to Moses. Let my people go. When God speaks to us, it is powerful. It'll shake us. It'll move us. Paul believed in it so much that he said to Timothy, preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word. Jesus ascending into the heavens in the book of Acts chapter 1, he declared to his disciples, he said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem, for ye shall be endued with power. You'll be endued with power from on high that you might be my witnesses. You're going to speak for me on my behalf. You're going to tell people my word, and you're going to do it under the anointing, under the power and the influence of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to tarry there. When Jesus used that word power, the word is dunamis. It literally means abundance of might. It's where we get the word dynamite from, explosive power. And in Acts 2, when God's Holy Spirit flooded into that place, that anointing struck Paul and struck Peter and struck all the disciples of Christ, and great things began to transpire because the word of God was now potent inside the hearts of the people. And when they preached, God moved in hearts. Jesus understood it, so he told them, wait until you be endued with power. But then we come to this story in Ezekiel. And God said to Ezekiel, speak to the bones. Speak to the bones. I don't think there's anything more hopeless than a valley of dry bones. I want you to know that the word of God not only will deliver you, not only will fight off and ward off Satan. I want you to know that the word of God will not only give you power to walk in the newness of life that's in Christ Jesus, but it will also pull people out of hopeless situations. It is powerful. It is mighty. And when we speak the word, there's a lot of hopeless people in the world today, and they need to hear the spoken word of God. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how dead people are in the world. There's a lot of deadness in the world today. There's a lot of dryness in the world today. There's a lot of churches that are dry today. There's a lot of spiritual churches that once had a moving of the Holy Spirit that no longer have the moving of the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you that Harvard used to be a Bible college, that Princeton used to be a Bible college. I want you to know that what is so necessary today is for men and women of God to stand up under the authority of Jesus Christ and begin to speak to the deadness that is in this world and in this life. We need to start speaking to the bones like God said to Ezekiel. Speak to them bones, Ezekiel. Speak to them bones. It's hopeless in our sight. I want to thank God that what's hopeless in our sight is very possible for God. I want to thank God that when I can't do it, He can. I want to thank God that what's impossible for me is possible through Jesus Christ my Lord. I want to thank the Lord that when I can't achieve it, He will, He can, and He does. I want to thank God that when I see somebody and I say it's going to take a miracle, God says I'm that miracle that can do it. I want to thank God for that. I praise the Lord that I don't have to look at a valley full of deadness or look at America and say the church has died in America, but I want to be able to look at the situation and say there's hope because God is still on the throne and there's still men and women that'll preach His word. Yes, it looks hopeless, but oh, greater is He that is in me and He that is in you than he that's in the world. And if the church would simply rise up and quit allowing the word of God to be hidden in our laps when we're there, but open our mouths and start declaring what thus saith the Lord, we will start to see a shift. We'll start to see a change. A response has to happen. Speak to those bones, Ezekiel. Can they live, Ezekiel? God caused him to pass by them. Round about, he went around them. He looked at them. He made two assumptions. There was a lot of them, and they were very dry. And God took him through the valley, and he showed him all the bones. And then he asked him the question, can they live? And I like how the NIV interprets Ezekiel's response. It says, oh, sovereign Lord. I like that because it literally helps you understand where Ezekiel's coming from. Because if you read it in the King James Version Bible, you'll actually just think he just gave him an easy, nonchalant response, trying not to say yes or no. But in actuality, Ezekiel said yes. He said, oh, sovereign Lord, you know. As if God, as if there was anything impossible for God. Ezekiel already understood that there was nothing impossible for God to do. And so Ezekiel said, oh, you know, Lord, you can do. You're sovereign. You're in control of everything. Or do you believe this morning that God is still in control? Then why do we run around worried as if he isn't? Then why do we run around fretting and worrying and troubled? How come our peace has left us when we see the turmoil in the world today? How come the church is scared and shaky? I believe today that the reason why is because many people have not walked close to God to know the peace that comes by being near Him. But God said, Ezekiel, can they live? And then God gave him a very strange response. Speak to the bones. Prophesy to them. Talk to that hopeless situation. It takes faith to look at something so dead and believe that life could come. It takes faith to look at a place called Kingman that has only 6 people and 4 of them are children. And God calls you there and you go there and you preach there for 43 and a half years and see what God is doing now. It takes faith to step out and do that. Everybody else says it's dried up, it's dead. There's no potential, they say. They say there's nothing there. But I want to tell you that when the Lord is in it, there's greater potential than you could ever even imagine. When God says do it, then there's great things that can happen. Speak to the bones, Ezekiel. Prophesy to them. Tell them to live. Tell them to get up. I think of this and I think of Jesus understanding the power of the spoken word. That when he walked up to Lazarus' tomb, he said, roll back the stone. They said, he stinks and there's nothing you can do. It's hopeless. But Jesus said, roll back that stone. And when they rolled the stone back, Jesus spoke not like a man speaks. He spoke by faith. He spoke into eternity. He spoke into something you and I could never fathom at this point in time. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And that hopeless situation became very powerful. The Bible said that from that simple word, many people believed in Jesus. And that many people came to see this man risen from the dead. And they saw him eating and drinking and fellowshipping with all the people there. They were amazed at the miracle because Jesus believed in the power of the spoken word of God. Church, we should believe in the power of the spoken word of God. There is life and death in the tongue, church. And we've got to start speaking as God directs us to speak. I have a message this morning for the dead backslider. I'm commanded to speak to your bones. You're dead in a valley of your own dryness. You're dead in the valley. You've been dead a long time. You've been seeking in the depression of your own life. Your own life has brought you to a place where you are miserable. You look up, but you don't know what up is. You praise, but you have no praise to give. You've been dead in the valley of that dryness of your life. And it's my job this morning, by the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost, to say to you, live again, says the Lord. Live again, says the Lord. Get up and let God breathe inside of you once again. Oh, yes, the enemy has tried to pull you back down. You get up, he pulls you back down. You get up, he pulls you back down. But I want you to know that the word of God is more powerful than anything the enemy could ever do in your life. Yes, he might bring some problems by. Yes, he's going to try to stop life from flowing. But I have a word for the backslider. Live again, says the Lord. Oh, yes, you're dead there. You're dead there, and the Holy Spirit is telling you, come on. Let the Word of God quicken your mortal body. Let it transform who you are. Let the Word of God come and pull you up. I have a message to speak to the bones of the sinner who has never tasted salvation. You see, they don't even realize that they are dead in trespasses and sins. They think they're alive. But the Bible said that once the word of God is spoken, that the condemnation is revealed and conviction is there. And they realize at the moment that the word of God reveals it. Paul said, I would not have known what salvation or that I needed to be saved had there not been the law of God. The law of God taught me that I needed a Savior. And when the law came, he said, then death was revealed in me. I realized that I was lost. I want you to know that the word of God reveals one simple fact. Sinner, that you are lost without God. Wait a minute. I'm a good person, you might say. I'm nice, you might say. I don't steal. I don't rob. I don't cuss. I don't act like a fool. I don't get drunk. I don't do drugs. I'm a good person. That those folks don't make it to heaven, and I'm sorry. The Bible declares that only those who are born again will enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible declares that you must be born again. Good people do not make it. Sinners, you got to understand. Jesus said, you must repent. And my job this morning is to compass about the dryness and the deadness of your life and to expose where you are dead and say, come alive again. Come alive again and speak to the dryness of your life and speak to the deadness of your life and say, God has a life that he wants to give to you. Receive it. Receive it. I have a message this morning for the Christian who is drying up. Oh, you're not dead yet, but you're comatose. Yeah, you're not dead. You still come to church. You still sit on the pew. You'll even raise your hand. You'll even smile at the preacher. You'll even put in a little offering. But you're dry and you're comatose. You're there, but you're dead. You're dying. There's no life in you, really, and you know it. You know there's no life. You're just kind of floating through. You're just kind of going through the motions of Christianity. But in actuality, the circumstances or troubles or heartaches or something has come and has robbed you and began to suck you down dry. And you're just kind of floating through. And so part of you is saying, well, I'm waiting on God to do something. I'm waiting on God to give me a word or speak to me. And I'm telling you this morning that the word is this right now, that God is saying, speak to the bones and tell them to live again. Tell them to live again. Oh, yes, the job is tough because I don't have the anointing to make you live. Only He does. I just come by commission to say He that commissions, Ezekiel has commissioned me to tell you that you must live again. That there is life still to have in Christ Jesus. And the way to have it is in repentance. The way to have it is in the altar. The way to have it is to come back from the backsliding. Speak to the bones. Speak to the dryness. Oh, yes. Yes, the dry one is here. The dry one is here. You see, you know this. If you're dry, I'm speaking to you. You know this, that there was once a time where praise was vibrant. Worship was alive. There once was a time where church, you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait. And now you could go, you could not go. It don't matter. You're dry, dry. You see, what happens is Christian, we think through time that because we're older in Christ, that we don't have to be as fervent or as strong or as dedicated as we once were. But I want you to know that the older you get in Christ, the more committed and the more dedicated and the more disciplined it requires of you to stand firm in the ways of God and to stand firm in the things of Christ. There's got to be more than just a little bit of going to church here and there, get me a little rush here and there. Listen, I love the Holy Ghost goosebumps more than anybody in this church. I'm sure of it. But I want you to know, if the Holy Ghost goosebumps don't come, I still got to be here. And I'm not here this morning just because I'm pastor, because I could be anywhere else in the world right now. I'm here this morning by direction of God to come here and be here and to stay here in my place, to be the watchman right here in this church and stand on that wall and tell you when danger's coming or tell you when victory's coming and tell you of the signs of the times. And I'm telling you right now that the message that this watchman of this church is telling you, that there's got to come life back into them dry bones. Some of you used to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, but the gifts of the Spirit have been drained down by the dryness of your life. The rivers of the Holy Ghost are no longer flowing like they used to. They've been stopped by the dryness. I want to speak to the bones of the hurting, because there are people who've been hurt. And through the hurt, you've tried to make it. And in trying to make it, you've been faking it. I know we've said before, fake it till you make it. I want to tell you something. There ain't nothing about faking it to make it. You just got to make it. You just got to dig in and make it. You got to press in and take it. But today there are people who've been hurt by other Christians. They talk bad about me. They spoke evil of me. I remember I wasn't even saved, but I saw God moving. I saw God moving in a family. Saw God doing great things. And I wasn't even saved, but yet I could see it. Have you ever noticed that? When you could see God doing something in somebody. This person was full of life and full of excitement about what God was doing and how he was reviving and strengthening and moving. And they got around other Christians. One of those other Christians punched that person in the face at a Christian gathering because sin was loved more than God. It sent that new Christian into a tailspin. That new Christian was just a young Christian. That new Christian grew up in the streets. That new Christian snapped when that Christian hit the other Christian. As a sinner, I was proud of the snapping because the young Christian jumped on the old Christian and gave that old Christian a good beating. A humbling, if you will. And I actually rejoiced in that as a sinner. It isn't until now that I see the seriousness of the consequences of that one action that the devil caused. It sent that new Christian into a tailspin of seclusion away from God's people. The people that would encourage, the people that would uplift, the people that would protect became the people that new Christian was afraid of. I want to speak to the bones of the hurting. To the ones who have been broken by circumstance. To the ones who've asked God, why? 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 Why me? Why now? Why this? Why the finances? Why the home? Why the marriage? Why the job? Why the children? Why the sickness? Why the disease? Why? I want to speak to the hurting because I want you to know that God has a word to the deadness of your hurt. He wants you to live again. He don't want you to be consumed by the hurt that you felt in your life. He wants you to feel the life-giving flow of Jesus Christ. He wants you to be alive again. He don't want you to be consumed in the pain of your past. He wants you to be alive. And so I'm speaking to the hurt, and I'm speaking to the dryness, and I'm speaking to the person who needs salvation and the backslider who's run from God. And I'm telling you, live again. Live again. I've been commanded to speak to the preachers and teachers of their duties. God has commanded us to speak His word. Unfiltered. Unadulterated. Never ever compromising it. Not making it palatable so someone can use it or eat it. Simply laying the word of God out as though it is and as it should be, as plain as day. Not letting people say, well, we need to have a bigger church. Let's not be so rough. Let's not talk about sin like that. Let's be gentle in concern with it. Let's not even address it if we have to at all. Let's find other avenues to get around it. But I want you to know that there's the danger in that because the people starve to death when the Word of God isn't proclaimed like it should be. And today in America, people don't even know what it's like to hear authoritative preaching anymore. I want to speak to the preacher. I feel a prophetic word in my own heart. A prophetic word, Brother Kowski, God's not done. He's not done with you. There's something great God's got for you. I feel that from the Lord, me to you, preacher. And I feel God really wanting to do something. There's doors. I know you've been here in a waiting period. I know that, and God
God wanted me to share with you that the waiting is almost done. It's all right. God's got a plan, a purpose, and a goal, and a real meaning for the ministry that he's put in your life. Brother Jack, I don't know where you're at, but man, God put a word in my heart for you. He wanted me to let you know he realizes the sacrifice that you've paid for people, how you've given of yourself, Brother Jack, for people that are hurting, how you fed the hungry, how you've clothed those that are naked. He wants you to know that he's seen that, he's recognized it, and he's going to bless you for it. I feel that from the Lord today. I feel that from the Lord. I feel that God has his hand on our youth pastor. There's a purpose. There's a plan. There's an objective. God has a word for him and a word through him to this church. God has a word through our Sunday school teachers. There's nobody more important today than our Sunday school teachers. They're the front lines of teaching. They're the front lines of ministering to our children and to our adults. Today we've got Sunday school, but no one comes to Sunday school. I don't understand why. Maybe it's a lack of understanding. And maybe here's a bull in a china closet comment for you. Maybe it's because you don't want to come. But maybe, I don't know what it is, but I know this, that there's nothing more important than being where you can be taught the very things and the very word of God, where you can sit down and hear God's word being taught, not just preached, but taught and expounded on and ask questions that you don't understand. There's an importance to that style of teaching, and boy, we need it in our church. If we're ever going to live, we got to know what God's word says to us. Brother Jason, I have a word for you. God's not done either in your life. Brother Jay, I felt from the Lord that his compassion for you is great. The things that happened, the devil's tried to destroy you. He's tried to take your family, but God's a restorer of all those things. And I believe with all my heart, Brother Jason, that God's going to wipe away all the memories of all those things and you'll stand pure. I want you to know this is the word. I believe it with all my heart. God's word says you are pure, you are holy, you are cleansed, you are right. And that's what the Lord told me to say. I feel that from the Lord. Speak to the bones. Speak to the bones. Speak to the dryness of the lives. Speak to the backslider. Speak to the sinner. Speak to the hurting. Speak to the preachers. Live again. Live again. Live again.